Discovering stories of people living out their beliefs in our culture, communities, and the public square. And finding courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Imagine feeling pain from the moment you wake up until you go to sleep. For most of us, we can't really begin to picture what that would be like. But for hundreds of thousands of our friends and loved ones who live with fibromyalgia, it's their daily reality. It's been called the invisible illness. And today we shed lights on a young woman's story of life with fibromyalgia and learn how her faith has been with her every step of the way. We'll discover how her story inspired a new movie that's highlighting the condition and the remarkable journeys of those who are living with fibro. Today, we go on the road with the writers and the director of the new experimental short film, A Happy Seven, as we welcome Tessa and Sophie Meath on the road. Now, first thing, Tessa, as someone who lives with this condition, I mean, I wonder if you could just explain a bit about what we're talking about when we say fibromyalgia, because I think it's a word many of us have heard before, but we don't really know what it means.
Yeah, absolutely. The name definitely gets tossed around a lot, but most people aren't really familiar with it. Fibromyalgia is a nervous system disorder where your nervous system has essentially rewritten itself to misinterpret stimuli. This can look like a lot of different things for different people. For some, it's primarily fatigue or disorientation. For others, it's mostly pain. I have to fall into that latter category. My nervous system has rewritten itself to interpret almost all stimuli as pain. And that's me.
So, I mean, obviously that's a significant situation. But as you go through each day, talk a little bit about what that looks for you like day to day. How does it impact you in your daily life?
In a way, there's almost a before and after for how it affects my daily life. These days, pain isn't at its worst. I've started doing a little bit better than I have in previous years. Daily, it can be anything from, oh, okay, so my back hurts and my shoulder hurts and my head's hurt, and it's fine, or okay, I can't get up the stairs, or anything in between. Either of those and anything in between would be perfectly normal. I think when I was a little kid, though, it was more just not understanding a lot of things. It wasn't so much what I physically felt. It was more just looking at people and not quite being able to connect the dots.
Understood. Now, on this journey that's brought you to the point of making this movie together, let's head back to where it started for you. And you two ladies are the product of a family of five girls, right?
Yes.
Sophie, tell us a little bit about what that was like.
Oh, it was loud. We are quite a rambunctious group when we get together, but we are all very close. And when Tessa was diagnosed with fibromyalgia, it was very eye-opening for all of us because we're able to now look back and see symptoms of that in her life from even when she was very young. So I think our closeness is a huge blessing for her in that respect.
Absolutely.
And you put it in terms of blessing. Was faith something that you had from the very start? Was it something that was a legacy that was passed down from your family?
It was, yes. Our family, my parents have raised us all to love Christ, and my sisters and I, you know, that makes us that much closer. And Tessa's faith is incredibly beautiful, and I have so much respect for how she's grown through her fibro journey.
We're talking with Tessa and Sophie Meath today, the sister-sister writing team and director of A Happy Seven, which is an experimental short film about those whose lives are touched by fibromyalgia, and Tessa is living with the disease herself. And Tessa, you've only been diagnosed with fibro for a little over a year, is that right?
That's right. Last January was the first time anyone ever said, "You might be sick."
That's just remarkable. How did you begin to look for a diagnosis? What was the beginning of that journey for you?
I was probably, I think I was 13 or 14 when I first started mentioning chronic migraines. Somebody would say something like, oh, you know, I have a headache today. And I would say, don't you always have a headache? And they would say, no, what are you talking about? And so I would just let it slide. But after I did that for a couple of years, my parents started asking questions. They noticed I kept on coming up with this constant headache thing. And so we started going to neurologists to treat chronic migraine. After a couple years of that and not getting anywhere, pursuing a bunch of different routes, we finally had to take a step back and look at a more full body perspective. And that was probably the first time we realized there was something bigger going on.
As you describe it, I mean, it's something you've dealt with ever since you can remember. You indicated before that, as we were talking off air, it was a situation where you looked at other people sometimes and thought, why is this activity, a basic activity, why is this so easy for other people, right? It was a situation where you're not realizing that you're in pain so much as looking at other people and sort of that comparative thing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I didn't think of it as pain for a very long time. I think a good example of this is when we were little, we had a giant trampoline in our backyard. Me and my sisters, we loved this trampoline. We would spend so much time on it. And I remember being so conflicted because I loved this trampoline. I loved going on the trampoline. I loved being with my sisters and my friends on the trampoline. And we had so much fun. But when I would go on this giant trampoline and be flung around for, you know, however long we were on it, I would then start to shut down. And I think Sophie can testify to memories of us being on the trampoline. And then after a minute, I would just lie down and everyone would keep on jumping. And I'd just be lying there on the trampoline being tossed around. And even after they got off and they left and they moved on to another activity, so many times I just stayed there and I didn't understand why. I just knew I couldn't really move.
Wow. Sophie, do you remember wondering if there was something that was going on with her in that sense?
On the trampoline specifically, I didn't think about it very much. It was just something Tessa did. She would just lie there for a while afterwards and never really partake in the next phase of playing. And when I was younger, I didn't ever really think about that.
Sure. Well, Tessa, you've said that you were blessed in a way because you can never remember a time before you experienced the pain in the way that you do, even before knowing that it was in fact pain or calling it that. But can you explain what you mean by that?
Absolutely. Yes, it is a tremendous blessing. Imagine if you got your arm cut off. You have to go through every day trying to figure out how to live life with one arm while still remembering exactly how to do everything with two arms and how it's supposed to work and how it's supposed to be and how much easier and more efficient that was. I don't have to do that. I just get to know what I know. I get to be familiar with what I'm familiar with and comfortable with what I am comfortable. Granted, it's uncomfortable, but it's familiar. I don't remember before. I don't. The working theory is I was somewhere in early infancy when my nervous system flipped. So I don't have to know what my body is supposed to feel like. I don't have to know that. I don't have to carry that. I don't have to think of that every time, you know, my body flares up or I'm really, really struggling. And that makes carrying it so much easier.
We're talking with Tessa and Sophie Meath today on the road for Faith Radio, the Sister Sister writing team and director of A Happy Seven. It's an experimental short film about those whose lives are touched by fibromyalgia. And Tessa is living with the disease herself, and she's telling her story so well today. You have mentioned that just after your diagnosis in that period, Tessa, you've talked about coming to a place of brokenness that was physical and spiritual. What did that time look like for you?
That was a pretty rough time. In the 6 months to a year after just, you know, being told there's something inherently wrong in your body, I continued to get physically sicker, and I had to basically watch my life be taken apart because things I'd always made so pivotal and built into such a huge part of my identity, I could no longer do. And that was emotionally devastating. And I got to meet very intimately a lot of my idols that I didn't know I'd been holding so tightly. And so physically, my body was almost useless. You know, you wake up every day and you're like, okay, can I get out of bed? I don't know. And realizing, okay, well, the things I've basically been living for, those are gone from my life. And having to deal with that and basically rethink everything I'd been doing and everything I understood about myself and what God had given me and what God expected of me and the path I was being built onto. I had thought it was very clearly and very strictly one thing. And I suddenly had to cope with the question, well, what if it's not? So it was a constructive time, but before it could be constructive, it had to be destructive.
Mm. How did you begin to understand and find a way to think about this condition, and how did you start to emerge from that period? Because as people hear you now, I mean, there's nothing but joy in her voice now, even as she's talking about, you know, the pain that she deals with on a daily basis. So how did you begin to emerge from that period?
I think realizing that, well, first the realization that there was a definitive point in time where God added this to my life, and then being able to move beyond that and see the beauty that he was working through it, and realizing I can say honestly, I cannot wish this away. A, because I don't know life without it, and B, because I do know what I have learned through it. And that was honestly one of the most moving revelations I could have had, because you can appreciate the weight of glory. Mm. And it's completely worth it.
So, Sophie, how did the idea of this film come into your life? As Tess's sister, I know that her story played a big role in you wanting to take this project, and it's become quite large, hasn't it?
It has. Yes. This film, the idea of this film was born in my mind shortly after Tessa was diagnosed, and it just kind of sat there for a while where I knew how powerful this life is when you see it up close, and I knew how difficult it was to understand. And I started to wonder, you know, like, what would it be like if we were able to share this with people? And as a filmmaker, I'm always looking for those types of stories. And as time went on, I began to realize this could work. I could do this. I'm in the perfect position, being so close to my sister who has such bad fibro. I could attempt to translate this life for people in a way that could be an incredible blessing. And thus far, that journey has been absolutely incredible. And it blows me away every single day because God is doing so much good through it. Our Facebook page has been viewed over 50,000 times by people all around the world.
Wow.
And so many people who have fibromyalgia have found us and have reached out to us and said, I love that you're doing this. This needs to be done. No one understands. Even a significant portion of the medical community do not understand. Mm-hmm. And even though it hasn't premiered yet, our film has already created countless situations, I'm sure, where people are actually sitting down with their loved ones and saying, this is what I deal with. And I would love it if you could understand that a little bit more clearly. Because when it comes down to it, we really just need to listen to each other. Mm-hmm. For people who have fibro, explaining what they deal with is incredibly challenging. And if people aren't really willing to accept that challenge, they're not going to try to share. So people have been commenting on our Facebook page that they gave up 20 years ago trying to explain their fibro life to their spouse.
Wow.
And God is doing so much good through this project.
I don't want you to have to give away the A to Z of what your script looks like, but just take us and give us the 10,000-foot view of what the movie's about and the story that you tell.
Sure. A Happy Seven is about a young woman who has acute fibromyalgia, and it's not a traditional script in the sense that it doesn't have a traditional arc, but what it does is it explores a spectrum of relationships she has with people, ranging from very understanding, close relationships to much more distant, surface-level, unsympathetic relationships, to just give like a bird's-eye view of what life can be like. Because if you don't have people in your life who understand and can support you, it's incredibly challenging, and it often makes your symptoms worse because that stimulation is just exhausting. So we just explore that spectrum of relationships and how it impacts her. And throughout the whole film, we're also emphasizing what she's feeling as best we can and how all of those factors come together in fibro because they're so interwoven.
And so you wrote the script together.
Yes,
right?
We did.
And you're the director, Sophie.
I am.
So how do you go about, you're going to sit down and make a movie, how do you go about starting to write a script? What does that even look like?
I'm still not sure.
It just sort of happened.
This script sort of wrote itself, quite honestly. All I knew starting out was that it had to be about someone with fibro, and it had to show the deeply intimate emotional challenges of that life. I had no idea what that looked like. But just sitting down with Tessa and talking with her more intimately about her struggles and interviewing a few other people as well who have fibromyalgia, I started to grasp much more deeply what life is like for them. And a lot of their stories started to piece together and grow into the script.
Mm-hmm. That's remarkable. So it's not, the movie isn't specifically about your story, Tessa. It's really a representative story that tells the stories of many. Is that fair to say?
Yes. I think that's one of the wonderful things about this. It's so much bigger than
it's not about us.
Little girls in the Midwest.
No.
This is so much bigger than just us.
What do you hope to accomplish, would you say, by making this movie? What difference do you hope to make?
With this film, I just hope and pray that for people who have fibromyalgia, they can find support and encouragement in ways that they may not have. And I hope that for people who are not familiar with fibro, who have maybe never heard of it, I hope to give them a more empathetic understanding of how incredibly challenging it is and how they can support people in their lives with fibro. Knowing how to support those people is very unique, and it's very difficult to understand. And the only way you can go about doing that is by letting them know that you are willing to listen to them and you're willing to hear their heart and understand where they're coming from.
Understood. The voices of Tessa and Sophie Meath here with us today. Well, actually, their entire beings are here with us, but it's the voices you're hearing because it's radio here on the Road for Faith Radio. They are the sister act writing team and director of A Happy Seven, which is an experimental short film about those whose lives are touched by fibromyalgia. And Tessa, as well, is living with the disease herself. And in just a few moments, I want to give you the chance to tell us where we can go to find out more about Happy Seven. But where is the movie at right now, ladies? And I know that you have some big plans for the premiere that also falls on the National Day of Awareness for this condition, I believe.
It does, yes. This film will be premiering on May 12th, International Fibromyalgia Awareness Day, which is a lovely godsend coincidence. But the film will be premiering at the Parkway Theater in Minneapolis, and it is free admission. We're holding two screenings at 3:30 and 4:15. And you can check out happy7film.eventbrite.com to get your seats. And it's going to be a really fantastic evening of awareness and support and understanding. And I'm really, really excited about it.
Mm-hmm. That's tremendously exciting. Absolutely. For it to have become just so large and impacting so many people. If somebody's listening now and they're not in the Twin Cities, but they'd love to learn more and just understand more about the story and keep up with the project as well. I know you're all over Facebook as well, right?
We are, yes. For future releases and an online presence, we do not have a date set for that yet, but our goal is definitely to make it available for free to everyone online.
Awesome. That's great. Absolutely great. Well, Tessa, as you look back just on the journey, and you're only 19 years old, and you've experienced so much, and you talk about this so wisely. Is wisely a word?
It is now.
Thank you.
There we go.
How would you say that your faith has been shaped by this journey that you've had with fibro, both, I mean, for the good times and for the challenging times?
Yeah. It's been very impactful. I think, in a nutshell, you have to appreciate the depth of your own personal brokenness, whether the physical, in my case, like the physical is just a reflection of emotional and spiritual brokenness. You have to really meet that intimately in order to even just appreciate a fraction of how glorious God is. I know I met some new personal lows in the past year due to this disorder that really, really affects my life. And I would not trade that for anything, because in those moments, I learned more keenly than ever before how good God is, and that I have nothing to fear.
It becomes clear listening to the story, but from your perspective, I mean, certainly it is true that you are able to bless and impact people through having fibro that you would never have been able to touch or impact any other way. Is that fair to say?
I think so. I can definitely say that a lot has happened that I cannot take any credit for. It's a little scary, because I just kind of feel like, God, please take care of this. But it is extremely humbling to see over and over and over and over and over again the glory that God will work. He will work his will. Wonderfully exemplified by this project. I mean, person after person after person, heart after heart, just confessing, you know, I've struggled with this for so long. I feel so alone in this. I feel so broken in this. Nobody understands. And I think that's a cry that any heart can recognize. And being able to break down even just the tiniest bit of that isolation, touch a tiny bit of that pain, take one person's hand, it's so completely worth it. So I think Sophie and I are just kind of in a constant state of completely overwhelmed and just hands open before God, saying, take this and work your will.
Perhaps as we, and our time is quickly waning away as we anticipated that it might, but what are some of the keys if someone is listening today and they have someone, a loved one, a friend who's dealing with fibro? What are some of the ways that people have been there for you, Tessa, perhaps most powerfully? What advice would you give somebody if they're looking for ways to bless a friend in that way?
I think this definitely applies to fibromyalgia, but it extends out to so much more. Don't try to comfort me with the fact that you know, because you don't know. And I can never know what you feel, and you can never know what I feel. Don't tell me that you know. I just want you to be there and do your best to understand. And I think that's all anybody really wants. So be there. Care. Don't try to know. I'll never know, and you'll never know, but we can still care and we can still pursue understanding. I think that's all any of us really want.
That's well said. Very well said. Well, Tessa and Sophie Meath, it's been a real pleasure to have you both here today. Thank you for braving the microphones and sharing your story today. Yeah, as we say farewell, maybe one more time, Sophie, just letting people know where they can go if they want to learn more about this great story, this tremendous project, A Happy Seven.
Absolutely. Yes, if you'd like to learn more about this film, you can check out our Facebook page. It's called A Happy Seven. And there you can find information about our premiere and stay updated as the film progresses forward and continues to touch people.
All right. Wish you both the best with this project. And thanks once again for being here. I think a lot of people are just going to be very touched by this broadcast. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.